Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin, and our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Excited to be here tonight. I do honor God, and I bless God for being here. And I do honor the leadership of this house. I always like to honor the leadership, and I bless God for you as well. So I want to start off by making this statement. And I don't know, what's his name, Tamron. I had to leave early last night because my body was doing all kind of stuff. And so I ain't going to give you the details, but I did get to see the second half. And I was like, he all up in my business, all up in my neighborhood, walking down my aisle. I was like, man, okay. So at least I know that we're, you know, one accord in the spirit. And so I want to talk about... I want to start off with this. I want to start off by saying that we're talking about being devoted, right? And the thing is, honestly, I struggle with this. I don't know why I struggle with devotion, because honestly, it's just not something that we talk about. I'm a millennial, and as millennials, we don't really know a whole lot about devotion. We don't know how to stay committed. So I really had to walk with the Holy Spirit with this, and I'm like, Lord, what? And so as we began to pursue this journey, right, I came to this conclusion, and we're going to walk through this, and I'll show you in scripture. But basically, devotion is, if not impossible, almost impossible without intimacy. And I will say, in fact, that devotion and intimacy, they go hand in hand, right? So if you could put up media, if you could put up Genesis 1 and 27, and I want to shout out to media, because I used to work in media, in the media ministry for a little bit, and it is so much pressure. Let me tell y'all, okay? Because you got the speaker that just throw out a scripture, and you got to hurry up and find it. And the speaker is cool. It's the people in the audience that be looking back at you like, he said Colossians. And I'm like, I'm coming. Shoot. Okay, Colossians is all the way in the New Testament. Give me a moment. So thank you so much for working with me tonight. I want to thank you in advance. Amen. Genesis 1, 27. Oh, you good. All right. And it says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, I know sometimes we like to get really deep and talk about why God created man from the dust of the ground. But ultimately, what it comes down to is that the reason why God created us, you and I, and it was supposed to be in his image and in his likeness, was for the purpose of intimacy, right? He wanted fellowship with us. That's why he took his time. He created the rest of creation. But then when he got to us, he took his time. Why was that? It was because he wanted to fellowship with us. But the problem was, he knew that the only way he can have fellowship with us was if we looked like him and if we were in his likeness. Because the fact of the matter is, God is holy. And as much as he wants fellowship and communion with us, if we are not in the same image and in the same likeness, meaning that we too are holy, we cannot stand in his presence. Because there's two different natures, and two different natures cannot coexist at the same time in the same space. And so God, he creates with intention the purpose of us being like him and looking like him and functioning like him so that we can be in communion with him. Right? And that's why the Bible in the next chapter, in chapter 2, it says that Adam walked in the cool of the day with God because they had similar nature, they had similar likeness, but then they messed it up. With one bite of a fruit, they messed it up, and immediately something about their nature changed, and there was a separation in communion and fellowship. And that's why in chapter 3, God, they're trying to hide. They had their fig leaves, and they were trying to hide from God. And God goes down, and he says, "Where are you?" It wasn't that he didn't know where they were, but he was talking to the old them that he had originally created. He recognized that they no longer existed in their original form. They had a new nature. It was called a sin nature. And so when he said, "Where are you?" I believe that God was speaking to who they used to be. Where is the people that I created that look like me? Right? And so his heart was broken. And he did not find pleasure in having to separate himself. But because of who he is and because of who his nature is, he had no other choice. But he desired intimacy so much that he tried to restore it through what we call the commandments. He gave us some commandments which served as boundaries. Right. And he said, if you stay within these boundaries, if you follow these commandments, then we can have fellowship again. But we had such a hard time following the commandments. Right. So he said, OK, this is what I'm going to do instead. I'm going to send a second Adam, right, to do what the first Adam could not do. And what this second Adam is going to do is he's not going to get rid of the law, but he's going to fulfill the law. And that way, the fellowship and the communion can be restored between humanity and I. Right? 2 Corinthians 3, and we're going to start at verse 12. The reason why I was having such a hard time with trying to figure out like what to talk about with devotion is because, like I said, our generation doesn't know much about devotion. We don't know how to be loyal, right? We're the generation that will bounce from one job to the next. Not that anything was wrong, but we just got bored. We didn't like the chairs. We didn't like the computer and the keyboard. So we gonna go somewhere else better where they got better coffee, right? We don't know how to stick to relationships and friendships. You mess up one time and I'm done with you, right? And then we got these so-called Christians who are so passionate, and we come to church with our skinny jeans and our lattes, and we just love Jesus so much until adversity happens and until tragedy strikes. And then all of a sudden, we go from loving Jesus to not even believing that he's real. How is it that it is so easy for people who claim to love God, sing about God, preach and teach about God with so much passion, with so much information, how is it so easy for them to walk away from God? Well, we're gonna take a look. All right, 2 Corinthians 3, starting at verse 12, it says, "Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech." Next verse. "Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away." Next verse. "But their minds were blinded. For until this day, This same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because, get this, the veil is taken away in Christ. Next verse. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Next verse. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Next verse. Now, we know this verse, right? Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In the next verse. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, some of you may not have understand a word of that. I'm going to break it down for you, right? So in the Old Testament, when God was giving the commandments to Moses, Moses went up to the mountain and he had an encounter with God where the glory of God came down like a cloud. The presence of God came down like a cloud and Moses was caught up in this cloud and he received the commandments. And when he came down, his face from the glory, because see, when you've been in the presence of God, something about your life is going to change. You cannot remain the same. You can't look the same. You can't function the same when you've had a real encounter with God. Now, if you come out of the presence of God and you haven't been changed, I will challenge you and say, maybe that wasn't the presence of God. Maybe that was your flesh just kind of tingling. Maybe it was gas. I don't know. But it could not have been the presence of God because we are changed in his presence, right? So Moses literally had a transformation happen as to where his face was glowing. It was literally glowing, and the people of Israel could not stand it. And so to make the people feel a little bit more comfortable, Moses put a veil over his face to hide the glory, right? And what 2 Corinthians is saying is that that same veil that Moses used to hide the glory is on the hearts of people to this day, as to where they cannot experience the word of God, which transforms us because Jesus is the living word, and it cannot penetrate through the veil because the veil, the lifting of the veil brings exposure. And what is happening is that our hearts are remaining covered and veiled, right? So you can bring my veil to me. My husband and I, we just celebrated our first year anniversary this past Sunday. And anybody who is married, I ain't trying to scare anybody who's not married, but first year, Jesus, listen. Let me tell y'all about first year, okay? You better be fully saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and know the Lord, and have a strong prayer life to get through the first year, amen? And that's how we made it through. But we also made it through because in counseling, what we talked about was intimacy. Hold that for me, thank you. And intimacy, they broke it down to us and they said, intimacy is into me, you see. I expose myself. Intimacy is not just a physical thing, but it's an exposure of all of who you are. And the reason why we were able to get through the first year outside of prayer, staying up praying 2 o'clock in the morning and fasting, we also had intimate conversation. Where when we would have these moments of friction and we didn't know why, we would walk away and not look at each other and point fingers, but say, God, show me myself. so that I can then show it to my spouse so they can understand my struggle. So we've had to have some very intimate conversations where we've had to let each other see all of the nasty stuff about us that still existed, all of the things that we were still struggling with, things in our childhood, things in our past relationships that was affecting us from being who each other needed to be.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc. or on Twitter at New Creation WA. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
And so, in weddings, in most traditions, including the Jewish tradition, the bride wears the veil, right? And can you just like, all right, we go try to hook it up.
All right, right there.
Amen. Stay. I command you to stay. All right. So the bride wears the veil and she covers her face. And the reason why she does that is to, one, signify and let all the other suitors and all the other potential husbands out there, let them know that she's off the market. Right, I'm taken and I'm about to go forward and commit myself and devote myself to my husband. But then when we get to the wedding ceremony, there is a point where the groom is supposed to lift the veil. And that lifting of the veil signifies the beginning of intimacy in the relationship, in the marriage. It's not later on the honeymoon, but it's in the lifting of the veil, because it is a representation that I am now allowing my husband to see all the parts of me. I came covered, but now I allow my husband to begin to see all the things about me that was hidden to society, that was maybe hidden to the rest of my family. He gets to see all the good, the bad, the ugly, the trifling, the nasty parts, and love me anyway, because his love is going to transform me, and vice versa. Right? And so 2 Corinthians says that the reason why people were not being transformed is because they had a veil that they refused to let Christ lift. Right? And so this is what a lot of us as Christians, this is why we have a hard time being devoted, is because we have not yet exposed ourselves in intimacy. It is hard to be devoted to someone that you don't know. I'm not about to lay, I love y'all so very much, but I'm not about to take a bullet for none of y'all except for my husband and my mama. Because I know them. I have spent time with them. And they know me. But for the rest of y'all, y'all don't know me. And y'all, I seriously doubt if most of y'all would take a bullet for me. Why? Because you don't know me. And a lot of people are walking around thinking that because I have entered into relationship with Christ, and I go to church with Christ, and I'm serving God, and I'm worshiping, but I'm worshiping with this veil because I refuse to let Christ lift it. So I'm going to church like this, right? I'm singing in the choir with my veil on, right? I'm worshiping. I may even drop a tear or two because it's a good song. Got my veil on, though, so Christ can't get to the internal parts of me, right? that was, it was such a powerful worship song. I may have even bowed down at the altar, but I still got my veil on. So no real transformation is happening because I have not allowed Christ to become intimate with me, to see into me, right? And so I would even go and tell my friends, be looking at them face to face, hey, man, let me tell you about Jesus, right? With my veil on, though. And then adversity happens, and I'm here with Christ. We're buddies, but we're not intimate. And I'm not being transformed. Right? I'm experiencing the temporary passion because you know that first couple of days of the honeymoon is exciting and you all just like, I love you. I love you. Stop looking at me like that. Right? But then when adversity strikes, we were married for what, a whole week, a whole month?
One month.
And storm after storm after storm after storm after storm happened. 1 month into my marriage, I get sick. I'm talking about bed bound for 3 months. Right? And so the honeymoon phase wore off. Whew, like that. Right? And when the honeymoon phase of coming to Christ wears off and adversity happens and adversity strikes, all of a sudden, I don't even know you. I don't believe in Christ anymore. I'm starting to question if he really loved me. I'm starting to question if he's even real. I don't even know if you are even real because I have not had any intimacy. And so it's easy for me just to begin to walk the other way. It's easy for me to say, I'm sorry, I don't know God anymore. I'm cool. I'm an atheist. I'm agnostic. I'm a Muslim, right? I'm going to search for something else and get that temporary honeymoon phase out of it because I refuse to let Christ lift the veil, right? But the only way to really become devoted is through allowing Christ to lift that veil and have intimate encounters with us. Sometimes we are ashamed to lift the veil because of our past mistakes. We feel like we got to come to Christ perfectly, right? So we keep that veil on our faces and we continue to hide because we don't think that Christ will love us until we've gotten it all together. You don't know my past. You don't know the decisions that I've made. You don't know the things that I've done. You don't know who I used to be. You don't know the person that I still am. I'm still struggling with some stuff. I'm still dealing with some things and I don't want God to see me this way. So I'm going to keep my veil on. But tonight I believe that God is trying to encounter you. Right before he asks for your devotion, he's going to ask for your heart. And not for the veiled, covered up heart where you just let him see all the beauty of the outside of the veil. But he wants to get underneath that. He wants to get to that shame. He wants to get to that hurt. He wants to get to that brokenness. He wants to get to that rejection. He wants to get to that orphan spirit that came upon you, that entered your life when daddy left you, when mama said she didn't want you anymore. He wants to get to those ugly parts of you that scarred your heart from past relationships, from abusive relationships. He wants to get to the addictions. He wants to get to the problems that you think that he will judge you for. But he's not here to judge you. He's here to love you into a place of intimacy. And when you have that intimacy, devotion won't be a problem. Being committed to him won't be a problem. You can be like Job and say, though he slay me, I'm not going anywhere. I'm still going to trust him. That came from heaven, intimacy with the Father. He had to know that God was bigger than everything that happened to him. We try to strive in ourselves to be devoted and force ourselves to pray and force ourselves to read the word and force. And then when we don't get it right, we beat up on ourselves. That's called condemnation. And God never meant for us to strive within ourselves. He wanted to assist us from the very beginning. But the thing that he's requiring of us is to, first of all, let him lift the veil. And I feel that there are some of you who are doing too much work within yourself. You keep telling yourself, I got to do this. I got to get it together. I got to make sure my life is straight. Let me stop doing this first. Let me stop behaving this way first. And God is like, no, no, no. I want you just as you are. And you don't have to do anything but surrender and let me do the work for you. Let me lift the veil. Let me love you and let me transform you. And all the things that I'm requiring of you will come easy because I've already done the work for you. So every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we ask you that you would come in into our lives, places where we're still trying to hide things from you. Places that we have not let you in. Places where we are still struggling. Places where we are still looking for answers outside of you. Places where we have chosen to cover. We ask God that you would come into this moment. Because some of us are tired of trying to pretend like we're okay. Some of us are tired of trying to pretend like we got it all together for the sake of pleasing people. When behind the veil, our lives are falling apart and we're broken and we're on the verge of losing all hope because we've been trying in ourselves and in our own flesh to keep our lives together instead of letting you in. So tonight, God, we say we surrender. I don't know where everyone in this room is in their walk with you, but you know. And I pray that the spirit of striving within their flesh would be broken. That the spirit of self-condemnation, this beating up on ourselves for what we couldn't get right, for what we tried to do and failed at. These feelings of feeling like we failed you and we're too embarrassed to let you in. I pray, God, that you would set us free from shame. That you would set us free from feeling like we need to hide from you. For our desire is for you to dwell with us and to make us into your image and likeness so that when rough times come and challenges come, we know how to stay committed because we know you and we know your goodness and we know that despite the affliction that you're still good. Teach us your ways. Teach us how to remain steadfast in you by showing us who you are. I pray for anyone in here who may not know you, who's struggling with the resistance of completely surrendering because they don't feel ready. There are things that they just don't want to let go. I pray, God, that you begin to move on their hearts and that they would make the decision to let you in, to lift the veil and to let you in. And God, we thank you for the transformation of how you are constantly molding us into who you are, to look like you and to function like you in the earth. We bless you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.